장도 똑바 세야 돼. 가서 또 빼고 시대. 똑바 세야지. 뭐 간이 찍었으네. 랑기. 네. 제대로 제대로 준비가 신릭 세야들아. 아니 똑바 세야도 뭐 똑바 챙이 뭐 세야 되는 시. 근데 똑바디 디여와 나라를 세바이나. 근데 아니 그래서 지선 소유도 시비기엔 똑바 세야다. 근데 라자 가서 예. 야 데라가서 또 이와들아. 아니
Good morning. And last night we started to look at this new division, the threefold division of awarenesses and knowers. And we, of the three, we started with the first, that being conceptual consciousnesses that take a generic image as their held object. And the definition then of, the start of them, the definition of a conceptual consciousness being a determinative knower that apprehends a sound generality and a meaning generality as suitable to be combined or associated. Then we looked at the three subdivisions here. So then we started to look at the three ways, the three divisions within conceptual consciousnesses that take a meaning generality as their appearing object. And we looked at the first of the three, which itself has three subdivisions. Conceptual consciousnesses that apprehend only a sound generality, conceptual consciousnesses that apprehend only a meaning generality, and conceptual consciousnesses that apprehend both a sound generality and a meaning generality.
Nene bumba ngone yimba chogu chik nangu horis, naa yake takpa chik, naa yue cha chik yoris, takpa chik yoris. Dene ki takpa tila ane duenji kasu hori, jashi kyangpa hala horis. Dene ki naa yue naa takpa cha tila jashi kyangpa chik, di tokpa tiki sunyu ra, tokpa tiki da sunyu ra cha kore, dili jashi kyangpa se di, di shi shi kore chik di.
To give an illustration then of the first, so as I mentioned last night, I changed a little bit of the terminology. So we have in our text generic sound, but we're rather going with now sound generality. So to give an illustration of a conceptual consciousness that apprehends only a sound generality would be if someone has no idea what a pot is, and they hear from someone else that a description of a pot. So now they hear the term pot, but they don't know what the term pot is. So they're hearing this term. Later, when they think about that pot, maybe even immediately afterwards, when they're thinking about what they've just heard, they're thinking with a thought consciousness or a conceptual consciousness, and the pot that appears to their mind is based on what they've just heard. And what appears to the mind is the sound generality, and only a sound generality. So it appears to the consciousness as being the actual pot, but it's what is appearing is a sound generality. In other words, with the sound generality being the general idea that appears to one's mind connected with the term or the sound pot. So that is what appears to the mind, and the sound generality is not the pot, it is a permanent phenomenon. And so the appearing object, or its synonym that the text here is using, held object, is the permanent phenomenon, sound generality, of pot.
Koyukila bumbaa tsimbi tokwaa sesh kikura o bumbaa sesh tsimbi tokwaa sesh kikura wa. Chesan, dini ki tobaa digi zindanga yu di karela na bumbaa dide, bumbaa dide, ngonere dide wa. Chesan bumbaa dide, zindanga yu di bumbaa dide. Shen yu lam na 진다 유나 주유나 나고 분바데 차용래 다 콜이야 분바 분바 많이 바실이야 분바 분바 나지 지비지게 안 나되게 딱베 차지 딱과 줘다 세로 딱과 줘로 와 딱베 차지 데 똑바디게 나유세 나유레 소유레 소유를 차고래 똑바디 나유세 소유세 데네 다시 장바야 데 순과 차도 다시 장바세야디 똑바디 소유다 나유 차용 Tadi takwa dike nang yu dan sun yu di takwa re yu, takwa re yu. Korong zinda yu di bumba di ngobo re yu. Da kol yu ni yu, zinda yu di ngobo re, bumba re, ngone re yu. Da kol nang yu dan zinda sun yu se di, da jashi jangpa se di takwa re yu.
This person then that is hearing about this unknown object, pot, for the very first time, when they conceptual consciousness then arises, which may be immediately after the ear sense consciousness or sometime later when they're thinking about what they heard. They have a couple of objects. So the first object is the one just mentioned, the appearing object, or as the text is using here, a synonym to appearing object is held object. And so what appears to the conceptual consciousness or the thought consciousness is the sound generality of pot. It's just the sound or this term they've heard, this is what appears to them. So it's the general meaning, or the general idea rather, the general idea that appears to the conceptual consciousness, in dependence on this term or the sound pot, is the sound generality. And this object is the appearing object, or its synonym, the held object, and it is permanent. The sound generality is permanent. That's the first object that appears to the conceptual consciousness. The second object is the actual pot, and the actual pot is impermanent, pot, impermanent. This object is the object of the mode of apprehension, or it has two other synonyms, engaged object or determined object. So the object that the conceptual consciousness engages with or is actually apprehending, that is the object or the mode of apprehension, or the engaged object, or the determined object, and that is the actual pot itself, and that is an impermanent object. So the object that appears to the consciousness is permanent, it's a sound generality. The object that the conceptual consciousness engages with or apprehends, that is impermanent, and it's the actual pot. And that is the engaged object, object of the mode of apprehension, or the determined object. Those three synonyms.
Korong yudi zimbana yudi mevach kogore, zinda yudi mevach kogore. Dade de, ko bumba si zimbana, bumba yore, chidang bumba yore ba. Chesan yore de ine yore ba yinzang ko tokpa de lokshe chagyo maare. Daka ane kisi ngandu nye le sheba na tokpa de karise labna jeba de maare ba da ko bumba de togo maare. Daka karise yiju re, yiju. Chesan bumba zimbi ki yiju re le kore. Ka bumba kore bumba san samgo de ine Bumba de Togo Mare, Koran Zimba Nashi, Bumba Yu Yu Dere, Loche Mare, Dai, Mingalas, Dai Yiju Send Chako, Kisnyamanga to be Loche da, Yijuda, and the Jiaba da, Dishibinan, and Toba the Karachagi, and Dina the Yiju Send Rida. Yu Bumba de Yorua Bumba Zinda Yula in Madison, now you said the Takwa de Res, could Bumba say the Mobody. Zinda Uris, Sisakor and Zinda Yu Bumba Yoba Inza, and called Loche Mares. Da, and the Bumba Yu Zinda Yu Yoba, Bumba the Zingo in a Bumba the Togo Marwa, Togo Mar, Madova, and that, and then Garasene Ijiris.
Then let's relate this back to the sevenfold division of awareness and knowledge that we've already looked at. So this person who doesn't know what a pot is. Hears the term pot, thinks about the pot. What kind of conceptual consciousness is this in terms of the sevenfold division of awarenesses? Is it perhaps a wrong consciousness? Is it perhaps inferential value cognizer? Is it perhaps a correct assumption? Well, it's not going to be a wrong consciousness, because the object or the mode of apprehension or the engaged object, that exists. There is a pot, and this conceptual consciousness that is engaging with the pot via an appearing object, which is a sound generality, is also engaging with an actual object that exists, the pot, and that is the engaged object, or the object of mode of apprehension, or the determined object. So it exists. That exists. Therefore, it cannot be a wrong consciousness. And it's not an inferential valid cognition, because the object is not realized. So is it then perhaps a correct assumption? And it is a correct assumption. It fulfills the definition in that the object isn't realized. All that the person knows is something about a pot, and an image appears, and something appears to their mind in dependence on this understanding of pot. But it's not realized, but it does exist. The pot does exist. So therefore, this is an illustration of a correct assumption. Again, this conceptual consciousness here is a correct assumption, and it's a correct assumption for two reasons. One, the object is an existent, therefore it's not a wrong consciousness, and it's a correct assumption rather than, say, an inferential cognition, because the object has not been realized. All that is known is sound pot. So therefore it's controvertible. The object isn't realized. This person then, who only understands a pot through a sound generality, when they then are going about their daily business and they happen to see an object that is a pot, they will not know. They will not know, because the understanding of a pot is solely based on a sound generality. When they actually see a pot, they will not recognize it as a pot. It will just be an object that is unknown to them. So therefore, an understanding that is based only on a sound generality is of limited use. It's not of no use, but its use is limited. And how then does this relate to ourselves and our quest for a happiness that's freed from any interruption of pain or difficulty? Well, in order to progress spiritually, one has to realize impermanence. You've all heard about impermanence. It was the illustration given with correct assumption, impermanent sound. We all have an understanding of impermanence. But this conceptual consciousness that we use to reflect on impermanence is still merely a correct assumption. We have not yet realized impermanence. And therefore, our understanding of correct assumption, our understanding of impermanence, whilst of benefit, that benefit is still limited. It's certainly limited in the sense of not yet being transformative. When we take then this the understanding that we're gathering here through Ludwig, and seeing that when one's understanding of a topic is limited, we can see that we need then to make further endeavor to hear and reflect so that we can develop our correct assumption into an inferential valid cognition, because that is where we realize the object. That is where our understanding, our realization has a transformative impact. And then through further hearing and reflection and meditation, we will be able to give rise to a direct perception of the object, of impermanence. And here it will be ever clearer that we are heading towards liberation and enlightenment through having a direct perception of impermanence. So this is how we take this understanding here of conceptual consciousness that apprehends only a sound generality of pot, and we apply it to our pursuit for lasting stable happiness.
And in the Dangan Zugi Karasene Dungasia Dan Digitria Tila, Jidangan Zugi Timli Nalaya, and Jitin Pietrosa Jenangan Zugi Digitria Dan, and it Gangasia Delia, Jidangi Lobjan Shirin Chaya Dan, and Delia, and the Chingazu Gansil Shirin Chaya Dia. You've been to Tubiagi, Dandalia, Jiki, Shirin Chang, you've been to Tubiagi, Dini, you've been to Tubiagi, and then, and Dito Nanga, the Digi to Tuyada.
Dana, some you jumped in the Gisunya, that did some Gidin, some Gianazuki, Digi said two mares, Nagap Dust, Digi Yaya, Nagap Dunga, Soya Yungur, Dini, Dingi Dewa, Say Yaya, Yomar, Dingi Dunga, Mabasu, two mares. That Dingi Dewa, Yaya, that Dingi Dunga, Mabasuela, and the Karchi would love, so some analysis, Sem Yakuatango, Chisan Sem Yakuatango, that Sem Girik, Dinita, Marajik, Dinita, Yungur, Monsum, Sata, Topa, Sara, Tesum, Dinita, Yungur, Chisan, that Dinigi, Shay, and the Diniki, Topa, Dina, Topa, Taji, Kampa, Sibasa, Dunji, Kampa, Niga, Jay, Simbas, Yungur, Chisan, Taji, Kampa, Simba, Topa, Dina, the Yum, Toyo, Mara, Di, Dunda, Yut
All sentient beings desire lasting, stable happiness, a happiness that is unpunctuated by a moment of pain or difficulty. This is something we all have in common. And it's to fulfill this that our parents send us to school, that the state educates their citizens, and that we are encouraged to endeavor to become educated and engage in society. But the focus of worldly education and worldly endeavors is largely focused on the outer world, the material world, to try and achieve happiness through material comfort, through overcoming problems of the material world. And this goes throughout society, even now in the world, the news cycle is filled with news of the pandemic. And here there are many scientists around the world who are trying to create the causes for happiness in the world through trying to develop treatments and vaccines. And this is all to bring about happiness for themselves and others. But the focus here remains on the material. Buddha Shakyamuni's technique certainly does not reject the need for material comfort and material progress. But Buddha Shakyamuni presented that this is a technique that will never lead to lasting stable happiness. Whilst material comfort is required, that cannot lead to lasting stable happiness. One has to look at the inner world for this. One needs to come to recognize our way of thinking, see where the faults are, see where the potential for development is, and then, based on a skillful technique, transform our way of thinking. This is the only way to achieve lasting stable happiness. And therefore, we need to understand the workings of our mind. We need to understand this presentation of awareness and knowledge, understand what is a wrong consciousness, what is a doubt, how to go from a doubt to a correct assumption, to an inferential valid cognition, and then to direct perception. We need to not only know this process, but we need to also recognize the various individual minds that we have. Where do these fit within the presentation of Lodic? And within this presentation, we need to understand well the sevenfold division, but also we need to understand the inner workings of that presentation in more detail. Hence, we're now looking at conceptual consciousnesses in more detail, so that we understand that when our understanding of a topic is based on a sound generality alone, that is insufficient to realize the topic. That can take us to a correct assumption, but not beyond. So therefore, we need to understand this topic of Lodic well, because the better we understand our minds, the better we understand our inner workings, we'll be able to know ourselves better, recognize where we are better, and where we are more clearly, and thereby be able to put more, have the enthusiasm to put more energy into receiving teachings and reflecting on teachings, and thereby transforming ourselves. So this is the purpose why we are endeavoring to understand this topic.
ngā dhū jīdīyān dhū thāngā lā, anī dhūngā dhū sēd, dhūngā yī dhūngā dhī mā dhū hā gu gu mā rā, dhāngā jī hā gu gu mā rā wā. ん、でね、ドゥンは人病が、ドゥンはね、ひれはもはん、チェギロロジョン、チェマニョンジンだ、ドゥンはジンビギ、ダウンドクギル、ドゥンはジンビトバイオンで、ディタジキャンバレス、ジンビトバ、ディギ、ドゥンはセアタン、ディキトゥビアラ、パントトゥマレス、アンディガルゴーレス、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、ドゥンは、
That we desire happiness is something that is widely recognized. That we wish to be free of suffering and pain and misery, too, is widely recognized. So, too, people can recognize when they are suffering. In fact, small children readily tell you when they are unhappy. They readily tell you when they are suffering. So small children will have conceptual consciousnesses recognizing when they are in pain, when they are suffering. So this is widely known in the world. But if someone from a Buddhist perspective were to ask people who have not been exposed to Buddhist philosophy, where is your suffering? Where is your pain and your misery? They will have difficulty giving an accurate answer. In fact, they may be annoyed by such a question. So therefore, sometimes it may be better not even to ask. But for ourselves, who have some education in the Buddha Dharma, we do have some understanding of our suffering. So we have an understanding that suffering can be divided, for example, into three. There's the suffering of physical and mental pain, there's the suffering of transient pleasure, and there's all pervasive conditioning. So we know that there are these three types. Of those three types in the world, only the very first one is recognized, the suffering of physical and mental pain, which is the feeling of suffering or an unpleasant sensation, that when that arises, that is recognized as suffering. But that is the only division of this threefold division that is recognized in the world. But even that, at its subtler levels, are not even recognized as suffering. And for us, though, that first level, how deeply have we recognized even that first level as being suffering? That the mere arisal of an affliction, do we recognize that yet as a suffering? And certainly that second type of suffering, that of transient pleasure, where there's a sensation of a pleasant sensation, where this too, from the Buddhist perspective, is recognized as the suffering. How clearly have we come to understand the differing subtleties or differing levels of suffering and their subtleties to them? So this we need to look at within ourselves. And we'll come to recognize that largely our understanding of suffering is based on a sound generality alone. And what we're hearing here is when one's understanding is based on a sound generality alone, it's a correct assumption. And we can go back and look at those five divisions of correct assumption, and we will see there where our understanding of suffering is. And when our understanding is still at that level, it's not yet a realization. It's clear we will not have the strength of mind, the wisdom, to abandon suffering. So therefore, we need to understand Lodik, to understand where our level of understanding is. And when we recognize where it is, it will be evidently clear that we need to hear more teachings and reflect ever more so that we can take this correct assumption and transform it, develop it into an inferential valid cognition. The moment in the weekday classes, we've been looking for a little while now at the presentation on sufferings, and in those meditations that you'll be doing on what we've been looking at, be looking at your mind to determine what is arising and whether it fits into the categories of suffering. And so some weeks ago when we looked at the threefold division of suffering that has just been mentioned, it was mentioned that the first type of suffering, that of physical and mental pain, that is the feeling of suffering, or to translate it differently, an unpleasant sensation. To the degree of intensity that the unpleasant sensation arises is the intensity that we're experiencing the suffering. And when the sensation is pleasant, that is then the second category of suffering, that of transient pleasure. And at that time we looked at why this is what's called in the world happiness, from the Buddhist perspective, is actually suffering. In your meditation then, you're using your conceptual consciousness, And you're looking at the arisal of the feeling, or the sensation, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, and recognizing then whether it is which of these two types of suffering it is. So here in your meditation, you are using what we're seeing here in our text, conceptual consciousness that apprehends both a sound generality and a meaning generality. So the third of these three divisions we have in the middle of page 15. And this is very important because utilizing both a sound and a meaning generality, one is able to eventually, through continued training, gain a realization of suffering. If one's understanding is much more limited and one's only recognizing the suffering, the sensation as being one of the sufferings based on a sound generality alone, one will never be able to develop past the correct assumption. One needs to be able to recognize that a suffering, an unpleasant sensation or a pleasant sensation is the first and the second type of suffering, and recognize that based not just on the sound generality, but on the two, a sound and a meaning generality. Because then one has the basis to develop one's correct assumption into a valid cognition, first inferential and then direct. So this is important. And one comes to this point through gaining knowledge, through hearing and reflecting on that, gaining deeper understanding, deeper habituation.
제제 분바 나요도 분바 나요도 분바지 균한 건강하게 마도 랑은 원이 주바시 난고레스 디나다디 분바 템바 주바 나타 분바 다주 주바 나타데레스 지산 디나와 나신디 요마레스 디메바레스 지산 디나와 나 요레 삼베 짐베 짐바들라 다젠 라그레스 디 나도 빵고르 뇨모바지야 코와지 규사야다 뇨모바 강가데 규조 디레스 다디 빵고고레스 이빨은 그 다음에 뭐 제바치고 다음에 봐 또 그랬어야지 어 두시는 야치고 그러고
As I mentioned last night and have on several occasions in the past, the texts of the Buddha Dharma always present illustrations that are easy to understand. So you can usually read and gain some understanding. The reason why the texts are composed in this way is so that the students can immediately get an understanding of the process that is being presented. It is then up to the student to go away and apply that to their meditation. A meditation, as we know, should be done repeatedly over a sustained period. If it's not, one will only ever meditate at the level that's presented here, thinking about a pot. One will think about a pot that, yes, so a pot, when it appears to my conceptual consciousness, I understand that what's appearing is a meaning generality of the pot, and that meaning generality is not the actual pot, it's just this, maybe we can say mental image, this general meaning of the pot is what is appearing, and that is permanent, it doesn't change momentarily, it's not the actual pot, and therefore my conceptual consciousness that is recalling the pot is mistaken. And one won't get much deeper than that. But if one takes this easy to understand illustration and meditates on it every day, then one will gain ever greater familiarity with this pot and then start to apply it to the topic, that thought process, to the topics of the Dharma. And that is the purpose of meditation, because that's how we'll bring about transformation. And then one will meditate, reflecting that this pot that now is appearing to my conceptual consciousness, the appearing object is the meaning generality of pot, and it is permanent. But what is appearing to my conceptual consciousness, whilst being the meaning generality, I mistake it as being the actual pot. Whereas the actual pot is not a permanent phenomenon, it's something that has come about in dependence on causes and conditions. Therefore, it doesn't exist in the way that it appears to my mind, because what's appearing to my mind is the meaning generality. That's not the pot. So there, immediately, we've gone a little bit deeper, and we're seeing that this object, a pot, doesn't exist in the way that it appears to my mind. So too, with myself, or with the self. The self, when I think about my sense of identity, this appears to be unchanging and independent, not influenced by anything at all. I have a feeling that there's always been this self that's gone throughout this life that hasn't changed. There's always been me throughout this life, no matter how things have changed. The self seems unchanging. And it seems it hasn't been impacted by life's events. It seems independent. So this is how the self appears, but the self does not exist in this way. How do I know? Because now I'm embarking on analysis. And we look, and we can't find it. And we see that the self doesn't exist in the way that it appears. Rather, it's a mere imputation by mind. So here the process to go through is to understand the illustration that's presented in the text here and elsewhere, always easy illustration. Reflect on this illustration that is easy to understand. Get the process right. And then apply it to a variety of topics, including selflessness. Selflessness is the most important, but apply it to other topics. See that all phenomena do not exist in the way that they appear to us. And especially with selflessness, because this is the root cause of the apprehending the self as existing the way that it doesn't appear, apprehending it as being truly existent, is the root cause of all suffering. So this is the process to go through. Start with something easier, go to a variety of topics, and come to selflessness. And this way, as we gain ever more knowledge, we will be able to bring this knowledge back to the same meditation topics, such as selflessness. And this is why we need to continually hear a variety of topics and include this gaining, this knowledge we are gaining into our meditation. And this way, our meditations will progress to subtler and subtler levels, whether it's impermanence or whether it's the reflection on emptiness. Whatever the topic is, the more knowledge we have, the more we can bring to that meditation topic. Now let's continue with the text, top of page 16. Top of page 16 has the second of three divisions of this, of what you have as A, and I'll use the new translation, what we see in page 15 in bold, A, conceptual consciousnesses that take a meaning generality as their held object or appearing object. So we've looked at one of three on page 15, and now we come to two of three on page 16.
That means you're talking about say the disorder, the deal what in the bumbo or in the symbol, talk about the casore, means you're talking about that, don't you talk about nigger, yes, that is disorder. Means you're talking about say that, don't you need your ass, that the deal what in the bumbo or in the symbol, talk about the nigger in the chills. That's called means you're talking about that, don't you do a nigger, eh, the word.
The second way then to divide conceptual consciousness is into two conceptual consciousnesses that affix names and conceptual consciousnesses that affix meanings. A conceptual consciousness that apprehends its object within thinking, this bulbous thing is a pot, is both a conceptual consciousness that affixes a name and one that affixes a meaning.
The minjur toba lamna korong gu duen deli ya ming di pa cha xie zinbi ki toba deli minjur toba la war. Pena ngang zu gu do dewa xeb shi gu chi gu dun jun di ba xe deli deli bumba la gri esne deni ki deshi do dewa tong deni ki deli bumba la gri esne deni pa bumbu ki pa tanyi cha xie. Deni ki zinbi toba deli minjur toba. Teaching at the top of Dambo, Sumba Sheva del Chevan, Jadu Niga Timber Topa, the Chavo, Jadu Niga Timber Topa, the Major Topa Chadigor. Jeda, Casanet, Dotiova, the Tongje, Della, and the Pumba Lagres, Lagadu, on the Cogula, Topa Pumba Timber Topa Chigua, Jesandi, Major Topa, Casan, Corongu, Ming Tasa, she Dotiova, Della, Pumba Reyes, Ming Tasarawa, Dan, and Diniga, Georgia, Hako, and Simbi Topa, and Sir, Major Topa Allegory. Today, the
conceptual consciousnesses that affix meanings. So this is where the conceptual consciousness applies or applies the meaning to the object. So this would be the same as from what we looked at before with divisions of conceptual consciousnesses on the previous page, the third one, conceptual consciousnesses that apprehend both a generic sound and generic image. So that third division applies to what we have here, the second, conceptual consciousnesses that affix meaning. Because here, the person knows that this object before them is a pot, and it has a variety of attributes that it can apply to that object. So when it applies the meaning, it's a consciousness that affixes the meaning, then it is the third type of previously, where the person knows both the or has both the sound generality and the meaning generality.
And Michi Ode Tong the Delia Kangurus Ming the Kala Del Ming Kanguru Lagri said to call Ming Kanguru Lagri said Pa Shiadu and the same gentle other kangurus in between Toba Kiadu the nigga toba del minjur toba as your minjur. Na Korongi Korongi Mingwin is your what the same gen dead and digi mingwin the delipa jarja how you do simbi toba del minjur toba. Then kanguru tongue then delia simjungwin the kanguru chimba chile michio. But the all over Lamna, the all over here, some bits in the Chagra, the Losha Charua, says that Koy digi ming the Walupa said the Chagra, my kangaroo said Chagra. All up is said Simjan Idoa. Kangaroo said all up is said Idoa. Says that Diki, when I put in by kangaroo in Bachilla, the Ton de Michel, the all up is ming tabina, the all over Chayo Marawa, then the all over here, some bits in the road, the Losha Charua. 제 민주도 민원에 대해요 말해. 나 그런 경우에 민기 같은 갱구루스 민원에 대해요. 진짜 민원에 대해 거 파시에요. 뒤 민원에 진부여 돼 민주도 봐서. 나 민주도 봐서 민 민원에 대해. 뒤 나신하고 좀 밀리네. 민원에 통하도 코로나 민원에 대해 디레다 라면도 안디 미 어디 미디 디레스 미 진부 또 봐들 민주도 봐서 제가 민주도 봐서 디세고래.
When someone new to, like the illustration we had last night, someone's new to Australia and they introduced for the very first time in their life to a kangaroo, and the person says to them, "That's a kangaroo." Then we see a conceptual consciousness can now is now applying the name kangaroo to the animal. But if the person was to apply the name wallaby to the kangaroo, then that would be a wrong consciousness because it's not a wallaby, it's a bit bigger, it's a kangaroo. So this is the same in other walks of our life. If we apply a name to a person and that is their correct name, their actual name, then this is a conceptual consciousness that is applying or affixing a name. But if we're mistaken, either it's not a person or we apply the wrong name, then that would be a wrong consciousness.
Dangerous to body, actually. Kibu Telia, Kibu Ubajan said Zimbi Zimbadilla, Topadi, and the Dangerous to Balagres. Carson
Conceptual consciousnesses that affix meaning, they apply attributes to the object. So they, qualities or attributes to the objects are applied, and that's the meaning of meaning. So the text then gives an illustration, so I'll just express it a little bit differently. Seeing a person holding a walking staff, a staff, and so what one is seeing is literally the Tibetan is a staff holder, so there's no word person. So seeing a staff holder, someone possessing a staff, that's right, someone possessing a staff, then here you're applying a meaning because there's an attribute to of carrying a staff. But there is no naming in that the person is not being named. So here, when we are fixing a name, you're fixing the correct name, the real name, to the actual name rather, the correct name, the actual name, to the object. If it's a meaning, you're not, if it's only the meaning, you're not affixing a name, but you are applying attributes or qualities to the object. So someone carrying a staff, you call them a staff holder. That is a quality of this person or a quality or an attribute of the person holding the walking stick. They are a staff holder. So that's the difference then between affixing a name and affixing a meaning. Probably somewhere on the previous page, there's the definition, maybe we could say, of a pot being a bulbous flat based water bearer. So someone then says, that bulbous flat-based water bearer, is it impermanent? And you reply, yes, it's impermanent. Here, there's a conceptual consciousness applying an attribute of impermanence to the object. So that is a conceptual consciousness affixing a meaning, because the meaning, or an attribute, is being applied to that object. So name, pot, isn't being applied to that object. It's rather its definition is being repeated. And is it impermanent? Yes, impermanence is an attribute, a quality of that object. Therefore, it's a conceptual consciousness affixing meaning.
And Ming the Korong Mingwen the Bumba Red, Rajana, Bumba says, and Ming the Korong Mingwen the Korongaya, Dan Jan, Zimba Inza, and the Garfore, the Mingjur Tobare, like it is.
And then, if someone says, that is a pot, then this is a consciousness affixing a name, because that is its name and its actual name. It's not talking here, making any reference here to attributes. Just the name is being affixed, and it is the actual name of the object.
That Dunjur The danger part of she did a case, she catches a giant team at Topa de la Major Topa in Guguoma, the Hanjo Donadi. Cassin Bumba, Mitawares and Bizimbadi, and danger Topa in a Major Topa Mares.
So, again, it's continuing to explain what comes further on here in this section, but putting it in maybe a clearer way. So, when there is a pot before one, and one recognizes that that pot is impermanent, then both of these concept, the conceptual consciousness is both affixing a name, pot, and that is its actual name, and it's affixing a meaning, in other words, an attribute, a quality, to the basis, here being impermanence. And that too, the pot is impermanent. So here, this pot is impermanent, then both a name and a meaning is being affixed by the conceptual consciousness. But both don't have to be applied. For example, this is a pot, then there's only a name being affixed. Or, this is impermanent. No name is being fixed, but an attribute to that basis is being affixed. And therefore that would be an illustration where only a meaning is affixed to the basis of pot. So therefore both can be applied or either can be applied.
And data gene timbada, major toba chagore. And the midi tongine, midi ninja wu sage, midi ninja wu do somebody in the zimba zimbadi, and the danger toba chagore. Carson, midi lai, chichi midilia, chichi, and ninja wu toba jan zimba inza, and danger toba smado, major toba chagore. Carson, ninja wu di midi ming marwa, ming marenza, called major toba mare. 明文人的人有嘛,我的,明确都话嘛,这些。啊,你那些,那些那个,忙不,那些,都会日历啊,都是切的,忙不有了,我的。
Countless illustrations of affixing, conceptual consciousnesses affixing name and meaning. For example, a person, we say, oh, that's Tashi, and it is Tashi, then this is an illustration of a conceptual consciousness affixing a name. But if one were to say, oh, this person is handsome, then here no name is affixed, but an attribute of the basis, this person, is being affixed. So that is an illustration only of a conceptual consciousness only affixing a meaning. And again, there are many illustrations along these lines.
And there's Major Topada, the Bumba Pajaji, Major Topada, Dunjo Topashi, the Kibu Ubuchan, yes, I didn't Dunjo Topashi, the Dundala Karshosin, Kishi Chilia, Kishi Jan, Timbe Topa Dilla, and Dunjo Topa like this. Chendanga Jugeda, Lu Shinlayan, the Garson, Bumba La, Karakishi, Karayorasne, Bumba Kijiki, Chiba, Bumba Mitabati, Bumbe Kishi, Chesan Dizimbe Topa Dilla, and Major Topa like it, Dunjo Topa like this. Chesan Dana, Bumba Kijiki, Chiba, で本部機器学的本部機器機器全部都把的了安全都把来的了那就在本部機器機器機把是呢安可能是来过生其他过当部那么预计的第一个是机器都是刚才是没法下入多入过的机器居住过的机器的大部大部买的定不要买的是居住过的是那都是现在不这样的本部的话现在那所说的话加起来其他然后就当部呢 ま、それ、記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記事記
So for us, of these two, the affixing of meaning is particularly important. So if we say this is a pot, we are affixing a name, there's some use to that for sure. But when we affix an attribute to it, which is affixing or affix an attribute to it, this is of far greater importance. For example, this pot changes momentarily. It is subtly impermanent. So here we are fixing a meaning. This is of importance to us. Therefore, this pot is not permanent. It's not stable. It will not last. That is the same for all other impermanent phenomena, such as ourselves. From the point that I was conceived in my mother's womb, through birth, I changed momentarily, as I have continued to do so until now. And I will do so continuously until I die. Here we are fixing many meanings, the meaning of impermanence. And when I die, do I cease or not? No, I continue. And where will I continue to? Well, one of the realms, either into the suffering lower realms or the pleasant upper realms. Again, affixing meaning. And what are the conditions within these lower realms? Why are they so called? And here we reflect on the various sufferings there. Conceptual consciousness, affixing meaning. And how does that compare to the upper realms of humans and gods? And here we affix meaning in terms of the less severe sufferings that are experienced in the human and God realms. And when we, so this text of course is written for an audience in Tibet. So the monks maybe look outside the monastery, if they're gathering wood outside the monastery, they'd see nomads. Nomads there would commonly walk with a staff. And so they just see someone in the distance, a nomad in the distance. They don't know their name to affix, but there's a person walking with a staff. And so they kind of fix that meaning to that person because it's an attribute. And then also affix the attributes that this person is momentarily impermanent. Therefore, their death is approaching. Their death could come at any time. And at the time of death, they will go to either continue in a happy migration or fall to a lower suffering realm. And what can one do about that? Abandon non-virtue and develop, cultivate the mind of ethical restraint. So here too, the person is affixing meaning. So here, this is how we would utilize or see this difference in conceptual consciousness, that of merely affixing a name, or that of affixing a meaning, or affixing both. We come to see that for us, affixing meaning is greatly important, but to do so, one needs knowledge. The more knowledge one has, the greater the meaning, the greater the variety, as well as the depth of attributes, of qualities that one can affix to a topic. So the greater one's knowledge, say to the topic of impermanence, the more attributes one can ascribe, the more powerful, maybe we can say, the conceptual consciousness that affixes meaning will be. So understanding this then, we see the importance of gathering knowledge and of reflecting on it. In the very last sentence here in this section, says that not all conceptual consciousnesses are included within this twofold division. So it's not an exhausted division. For example, if someone only has a sound generality of an object, so you've heard now the term pot, but you've never seen a pot, you'll struggle to apply the name pot to that object because you don't have enough information. So therefore, a conceptual consciousness that is only a sound generality of pot, that only has a sound generality of pot, is unable to apply either or affix either a meaning or even the name to the object pot. And therefore, such a conceptual consciousness doesn't fall into either of these two divisions.
Dimil 직조 대니게 막고 신요 제가 되는 신발다 만디 제려 디즈 차상 야고 신발네 데려 제레 냠는 제야 다 두세는 직 흉체 나 공 다디니 치류갑라 데고 레라지 레라고 용고레스 제나디 강변 나라 디민티 고체 마도나 나로 주 주카고로와 디나신다 디나신지 뒤리기 남샤들 직 야고라지 마신 바이나 디네가 저기 야 흉체 다 냠는 제 빛신야래 갈카 차그리에세 저기 넘윤이 빼자 셔야되라 딱 강변나라 주연 마서나 로전 제기 디미트리레스 디미트로레스 시고레 디라네 디라충와 징 쳔보세지 수묘로 로릭데르와 데 디라충와 요레 징요레 로릭요레 따릭요레 디 디차단 디라라고 데나 디 디미다 자와레 소레
This topic of lorik that we've been looking at for a little while, it's included amongst in a larger subject called collected topics. So collected topics then, this larger subject of which lorik is one amongst the others, such as tenants and so forth, this is likened to a key. And here the analogy that is given is, if you need to access your room in the monastery so that you can get your robes, so that you can have some food, you need a key to open the door. If the door remains locked and you don't have the key to enter your room, you won't be able to make use of your possessions. You won't be able to get dressed or to feed yourself. And that key to the paths of the Dharma are the topics included within collected topics, such as lorik. If one doesn't have that key to the paths of the Dharma, it will be very difficult to cultivate them within oneself. To the extent that one does understand these topics well, such as what we're seeing here in lorik, to the extent that we understand them well, our meditations on the paths, on the topics of the Dharma, will go better, and the attainment of the various Dharma realizations will come about that much easier.
Adine, nang zhe jin ma da tokpa, yang jie tokpa le yang, ni yu ya tokpa le xie yin du, ane yang tokpa le tokpa dun dun xie de, tokpa dun mi dun xie de, yang jie rik ni qin xie yu le.
Now we come to the third of the three divisions of conceptual consciousness. So factually concordant conceptual consciousnesses and factually discordant conceptual consciousnesses.
Jinada tokpa dundin lamna da dira chadun jerun du zimbe shinri dundin de da tokpa dundin gi chengi lamna chengi sina ngo sina di sigre chadun jerun du zimbe gi ani shinri dundin sa ji.
If you're asking what is a factually concordant conceptual consciousness, well, it is presented here in this definition, a factually concordant determinative knower that apprehends a sound generality and a meaning generality as suitable to be combined. The difference between whether factually a conceptual consciousness is factually concordant or discordant depends on the object that it's apprehending. If the object exists, is an existent, if it exists in a way similar to how it is apprehended, so in other words, it's an existent, then that conceptual consciousness is factually concordant. If the object doesn't exist, if the object does not exist, then the conceptual consciousness apprehending it is factually discordant. So the difference between these two is whether the object exists or not. So amongst the sevenfold division of Lodic, those which are factually concordant are inferential valid cognizers, their objects exist, as well as correct assumptions. So these two are factually concordant. So here maybe it's good to read from the text just to make sure there's clarity on the terminology. Under the definition for factually concordant conceptual consciousness, if something is an established base, the conceptual consciousness apprehending it is necessarily a factually concordant conceptual consciousness. So this is what I've just said, in that an established base means an existent. If something exists, if something is an existent, etc. So if the object is an existent, its apprehending conceptual consciousness is factually concordant. And the two illustrations are inferential valid cognition and correct assumption. And the definition then of a factually discordant conceptual consciousness, a factually discordant determinative knower that apprehends a sound generality and a meaning generality as suitable to be combined. So it's just the inclusion here of the word discordance rather than concordance. And the explanation, if something is not an established base, in other words, a non-existent, the conceptual consciousness apprehending it is necessarily a factually concordant conceptual consciousness. So again, the difference is if the object is an existent or non-existent. And just to then add, if something is a non-existent, the conceptual consciousness apprehending it as an existent is necessarily a factually discordant conceptual consciousness. In other words, the conceptual consciousness that believes that something that doesn't exist to exist, that is a factually discordant conceptual consciousness. Then illustrations of factually discordant conceptual consciousnesses are all conceptual wrong consciousnesses. They are what apprehend an a non-existent as an existent, believing that something that doesn't exist exists. All conceptual wrong consciousnesses. But to be, again, to add clarity here. For so conceptual wrong consciousnesses are all factually discordant conceptual consciousnesses. So they believe that a non-existent exists, or they believe that something that does exist does not. So it can be either way. Believing that something that doesn't exist exists, or believing that something that does exist does not. For example, the wrong consciousness that believes that there's no such thing as a Buddha, Buddhahood is impossible, or that there's no such thing as cause and effect. So cause and effect exists. Buddhas exist. The wrong consciousness believes them not to exist. And then these are factually discordant conceptual consciousnesses that are wrong consciousnesses. And how to apply then this third division here of conceptual consciousnesses to our practice? Well, of course, we have innumerable conceptual consciousnesses continuously. And amongst those, we'll have many that are factually concordant, as well as many that are factually discordant. So let's look then at some of the factually discordant consciousnesses that we have. So amongst our factually discordant consciousnesses, as we heard here, they will be they include the conceptual wrong consciousnesses. And these we also have a lot. And again, a wrong consciousness either believes that an existent does not exist, or something that does not exist believing it does exist. So those would be wrong consciousnesses. And we have many like this. For example, we all have this feeling that we will live a long time. We may recognize that we will die. We may recognize that our time and manner of death is uncertain. But we still are governed by this feeling that there is an expanse of time before us. This is a consciousness that grasps at permanence. We have not realized our subtle impermanence. We naturally think that today, yesterday, same, no difference. Today, last week, same, no difference. I haven't changed at all. This is how we naturally think about ourselves, and this is a grasping at permanence. It is factually discordant because we are not permanent. So the object does not exist in the way that it is believed to exist. It's factually discordant. And the problem from this wrong consciousness that we all have is that not only does it serve to ensure that we do not utilize well what remains of this life, or utilize it as well as we could of the period that remains of this life, but also from this grasping at permanence, so many afflictions follow. So this is just one illustration of the many wrong consciousnesses, or the many factually discordant conceptual consciousnesses that we have. The reason why the wrong consciousnesses are factually discordant is because they don't know the object correctly. So, for example, if we're sitting here and we think, oh, yesterday I went to the shops, for example, and we think about the shops that we visited yesterday. So we have this feeling that I am sitting here, and I exist and I'm here, and I, who exists, went shopping yesterday. We see that I who went to the shop, the person who went shopping yesterday and the person who's sitting here thinking about yesterday, we don't see any differentiation at all. So on the one hand, we can say, if we look at this now in more detail, we have to say, but hang on, the self or the person changes momentarily. How can we say that the person of yesterday and the person today are the same? And this is how we relate to the person of yesterday and today as the same. Similarly, if someone says, oh, you're here. Did you walk here? Did you come here by foot? And you say, yes, I came here by foot. Again, we have this feeling of the person who walked here, the person who is now here, is identical, is the same. We're not seeing any difference at all. The reality is there's a connection, of course. There's a continuity or continuum, a continuity perhaps, that connects the person of yesterday and today. But just briefly reflecting on subtle impermanence, how can we say that there is no difference, that they're identical? But how we relate to the person of yesterday or previously, the person who walked here, and now, we relate as if to them as if they are identical. We see no difference. This is the grasping at permanence. And it's a wrong consciousness. It's factually discordant because it relates to the object incorrectly.
Long of the chatter, Gengo chatter, but long of the Michemo chatter, I may get you to Buchunjin Gere, mother. I may get Buchunjin, Choran Yitiba, Choran Marawas, Choran Long of Judah, I may get you, Lochi and Royal Marawas. Chisadi, two sitting around, someone on the Garazeros, now I may get in cigarette. Some not your chisel, I may get you, Chunjun de Re, mother, not air, my Chimbo chatter, you bet you a chatter. Tina, in there, not someone, now I may get in cigarette. That ship to wood pass some totem, do chevachi, me ging among chujo di, that I make your head. Then I answer you by simjushin, did you read the chisel? That when it's in a me ging among a mad, I make your head, then I mean, chigge, I mean to honor doing your marriage, said the chow or chagur, but just nothing else. I make your head, some of the, I answer, I make you chujun jet, that didn't eat.
Similarly, we could say that if someone were to ask you, were you born from your mother? You'd say, of course. No. How old are you? And you'd say, maybe, I'm 50 years old. And you'd say, so you, what was it like being in your mother's womb for 50 years? And that would highlight the mistake we make in how we think about ourselves. We weren't born in this current body from our mothers. Only a tiny infant is born from their mother, not a 50-year-old. But we still see ourselves as with this grasping of permanence, we don't differentiate between the self or the person of today and of yesterday and of 50 years ago and of in the womb. Really, the way we should relate to this is the continuity that I share was born from my mother and has developed into what it is now 50 years later. But that's not how we relate to ourselves. We relate to ourselves through the conception, grasping at ourselves as being permanent. And this is factually discordant. It is a wrong consciousness. And it's from this factually discordant wrong consciousness that our other afflictions flow.
Kerang ke sosok jadi dua, lepas ni, ni je mana lagi dua. Ani ke ni mah dunia ये बुचुंजु कबल जिग्यो सुई दुवाले ने दी बुचुंजु कबल सुई जोर में नेगे सुई जो मारे लगी रुवा तंगा तो दी लगी रुवा उन्हें निश्चित दिंगे बुचुंजु कबल ना चुंचु कबल इंबी कबल नेगे सुई बारे में तो नेगे सुई मारे तो ना चुंचु इंबी कबल सुई बारे लाजू दिने सम्पन्न आयो दो अन्य कर सम्पन्न हो से चुंचु दिए दा नारा इंबी खा खा इंबाजिक सेवुरिजिक ना जो की ये वाचिक और रुवा आ दे दी ये वाचे वा नाशिंजी ना ना तो कर सम्पन्न गोरसने दी नाशिं. I was a little bit of a problem. Odingi longama nuru chere ma da dingi nuru chere ma di nuru chere longama ngi ki gyungama de longama che ba re se da dingi nuru chere ma ina da dingi do nuru ma che ba za da chin chin de nuru chi mi sem be sam da wa ina di ngui ni su tu ba cha de ro ma di na shi xian da chi gi mi chi gi nga zo le longama de wang zo le gang ga che du bu che ba ina nga zo ge da de tong de mi di le mi di be du shi nga le ya gang ga xiu chi gi du mi di gang ga che so la gi ro wa ta sang mo ne shi da da de mi di Ganga de Yama Ganga de Midida, Dadini, Pet Kaharwa, or Gunchi, Gunchi Varemato, Namaka, Ten Midi de Mare, Dadidi, Nama de Mare. Chesa Dini Zanganjugi, Oda, Manjugi, Yamlin Pasha, Odadi, Midi Koron, Dada, Kui Yungama, Longama, Gidin, Chevarma, Midi Gitting Alia, Jeo Marsan Pegeta, Manjugi, Kok Yangalia, Ganga de Tubutan, Yapumashendi, Kokichi, Tosavare, Dadi, D Gunchi Matibu. Gunchimachima, I think he made a chicken, Yorra, Shen Dilagro.
I think this is an important meditation for people to engage in, to reflect that, or to come to a better understanding of how we exist in reality, in the sense of to come to understand that the person that existed at the time of conception, the time of birth, through all the years of aging up to now, shares a continuity or a continuum, but it's not the same. It's not identical. There has been innumerable changes on innumerable levels. I would imagine what I've just said is easy to understand and isn't controvertible. But this is just a sound generality, an understanding based on a sound generality. Hence, it hasn't transformed ourselves. The way to do that is to keep hearing more teachings and continue every day to reflect on them more, so that we can give rise eventually to a realization based on both a sound and meaning generality. So, if someone were to give another illustration to further illustrate this, if someone were to ask you, say to you, are you a killer? You'd say, no, I'm a Buddhist, I promised I'll never kill, I don't even kill insects. And then they say, and when you were a child, did you not kill? And then you say, yes, yes, of course, I was a child. What did I know? I did these things, but that I was a child. That wasn't me. So there, we're getting a little bit closer to how we should be thinking. We tend to do it a bit selectively, but that is closer. We are not that child anymore that perhaps killed with joy. There is a connection, of course, there's this continuity, but we are not that child anymore. That same understanding we need to apply to when we recall perhaps grave misdeeds that we did in the past, things that we maybe carry a lot of guilt and shame about with us now. This guilt that holds us, that guilt that causes us to grasp so at past misdeeds, this doesn't serve any benefit. We need to let go of that. That person who did that misdeed, or who thought and therefore acted in a particular way, is not who we are now. There's been so much change over this course of time. We are not the same person we were earlier today, yesterday, let alone years ago. So we need to take this understanding and apply it to ourselves and let go of these minds of guilt that hold us back so. We can regret what's been done and then move on. Take care of who we are now, of our mental processes now, focus on our future, on who we want to become, how we want to impact on others. Let go of the past. In this way, we can take a factually discordant consciousness, transform it into a factually concordant one. And then this understanding we do in relation to ourselves, to let go of pain from the past. Then, in dependence on that, we apply it to others too. And we let go of what we hold against others. Remind ourselves that this person who acted in a certain way, motivated by a particular intention, that person then is not the person now. Do not hold them by those past actions. Let them free of those past actions. Don't continue to blame them, to hold resentment against them for what they've done in the past. They are no longer that person. Likewise, with my own misdeeds, I am no longer that person. Let go of both of these factually discordant conceptual consciousnesses. And rather, having learned from these experiences, we focus now on ensuring our mind is on virtue, that when afflictions arise, we understand the harm that they do, and we turn away from them, and we keep our mind virtuous. And in this way, we strive to achieve our Dharma goals. I hope then, from what I've presented here, what you're learning here in Lodik, you're seeing ways that you can apply it to your meditation, to your mental development. In this way, come to know yourself ever better, and thereby have more skill to transform your way of thinking and attain lasting, stable happiness. So thank you. We can finish here. Our time is up. If you have any questions, there are a couple of minutes, so then do ask. Okay, thank you. Then enjoy lunch. Wait, there's one at the back, sorry. Entirely what works for you. So the Tibetan is meaning and then general, and then so you can say general meaning. So the general meaning of the concept that comes to you. So meaning generality, generic meaning, whatever you prefer. So what appears to the mind, like if you think about a philosophical concept, you don't get a picture, but the general meaning of that concept appears to your mind. So you can go with it like that. Yeah. Yeah. then stay with a generic meaning, if that's what you're most comfortable with, then stay with that. Yeah. This topic in particular, it's really difficult. There are many different ways it's translated. Okay. Okay. Was there another one? Oh, yes. Anila?
When we went through the threefold division, number three, page, is there a way for direct perception of emptiness to fit in? It doesn't seem like there's a way for direct perception to fit in because it's actually that it's a perception.
So these at the top of page 15, those three main divisions, right?
Yes.
So would a direct perception of emptiness fit in here at all?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Can it fit in, or is it not a full division?
Sure. Kachi don't have a kena. Then ngato kesa dango ngato go tsukdu. Then iwa sum yore ngato danta iwa. Dampo de kola sung tasong. Then iwa di sung nana de dunchi sung yu du jepe tokpa shepa tite rangsen sung yu de jepe tokpa mepe chupa lasopa. Di sung nana la ngun sung ki tsema yore pe ni soa di kola sam yore nga to tongpening toki eki ngun sung ki tsema de di ni sung nana la di
rangsen sung yu de chibi ngun shepa ma tui shi ngun sung se di nana yore.
Rangsensung yu ju jepe tokpe mebe ma chuwa.
Tokpe ma chuwa xeba xe. Di nal da ngosum tsema da ngosum di jeshe da ngosum chasang di liyo.
Yes, it's there, and it's in the next division, the second one, explanation of non-conceptual, unmistaken consciousnesses that take a specifically characterized phenomenon as their held object. It's a bit of a mouthful, but that's where the direct those are the direct perceivers.
So, that's a specifically characterized phenomenon that is permanent, because you're directly realizing emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it was actually mentioned that specifically characterized phenomenon.
Or impermanent, yes, yes. Then I talk to you, Kalinsa, Kongi Sungyu, the Sungyu, Rangsen Re. Yeah, Rangsen, Sena, Mi Takpare. Tongpani, Takpare.
That is the Nale Shen Tela. Tongba yungwa sun tu lo de la rangsan xin dang ge yes rangsan xin dang ge yes ge rangsan xin na ne ne tongba de do mo sun to go yes ma tongba de nang ge ma re la go de di she da ne da di che li ge wa
de ten ten kon so di rangsan de de
tongba yungwa sun to bi na jung mo sun jo ro ba de la tongba yin nang ge de be se nang ge ma re yes rangsan xin dang go re tongba yungwa sun to go re ne nang go ma re la di she da di she wa
ten kon so ten kon so chu kyo tongpa ning ge ne de
je
So we'll come there this afternoon, and you'll see that the all four divisions of direct perception are included here in the second point, so including yogic direct perceivers. According to the tenets that this text is composed, that of the Satrantika or the Sutra school, they say that the held object, or it's a synonym, the appearing object, is a specifically characterized phenomenon, which is impermanent. But emptiness is realized, that's the engaged object. So that's according to the Satyantika school. So they say the appearing object is still impermanent. But the engaged object, if it's emptiness, emptiness will be the engaged object. Okay. And thank you.